We heard our scripture reading read by Darlene this morning, and I'm just going to read the whole verse for us through that whole chapter. John 12:32, I'm starting in, if you want to turn there. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Verse 46, moving down to verse 46, if you're following along. "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Did we hear those last few words? Why did Jesus come? Let's say it together. To save the world. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Jesus came to save us. And sometimes we tend to look away from what Jesus really came to do for us. We look away, sometimes it might be to self or it might be to circumstances, but we look everywhere besides where Jesus wants us to look. So today we're going to take this full, 12:45, so don't say I went too long when it ends up being a little bit later than 12 o'clock because we only have 15 minutes until then. But we're going to take the next, I'm predicting, half hour to look at how Jesus loves us so and just exactly what he did for us when he was lifted up, because it means everything to each and every one of us today. And he came to save the world. He didn't come to save Christians that are in a church. He came to save Christians that are in a church and the world. He came to save everybody. And so together we can be confident in that. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today we are here before you, wanting to know where things stand in our life. We're confused. We don't have the wisdom and understanding that we need in this day and age. But Father, we know where understanding can be found, and that is in you. And I pray today that if there are any that don't know that, may they find out today just what they've been given through the life and the death of Jesus Christ, just what you've provided from heaven, Father. I pray today that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive the words that you desire to share with us today. I pray today that it won't be my words spoken, but that you would just use me as a vessel to speak your words. And I ask that as your words are spoken, lives would truly be changed and belief would be had here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when Jesus was lifted up, just what were we given? Do we ever stop to think about it? I mean, really stop to wonder, what were we given? What is the significance of the cross and Jesus dying for us? And so today I'm going to get the deacons. I've given them some papers they're going to hand out to you just so you can follow along. I was attempting to use the slideshow, but that didn't work out exactly as planned. So the deacons can go ahead and hand out those papers to you. And all the points that I'm going to talk about today will be there as well. Through the death of Jesus Christ, what have we been given? And I'll wait until everybody has the papers, then we can all follow along. The first point that you're going to see there is one that's so significant. And it just is amazing to me, because we might not see it in our own lives, but this is the first point that we're going to look at. This is something we've been given through the death of Jesus. Today I want you to hold in your heart trust and no matter what's there in your heart right now, if you're afraid or you don't understand just what path God wants for you, I pray that today you'll hear him speaking to you and that you'll know that he really does love you and that you'll see that today. That's my prayer for you. So let's get right into it. I've been justified through the death of Jesus Christ. I've been justified, and that word justified actually means, translated, declared righteous. Declared righteous. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans 5, 9. That's Romans 5, 9. And the Bible says, much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved through him. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I was reconciled to God. You guys have these points there on your papers. We're just going to move right down to Romans 5:10. And this might not be usual, but can I have a volunteer read that for us? Romans 5:10. If somebody would volunteer to read that. Wow, reconciled through the death of his son. Reconciled to God, isn't that amazing? And much more, we will be saved through his life. I just think that's an amazing thing. Through the death of Jesus Christ, God has demonstrated his love towards me. God has demonstrated his love towards me. Romans 5:8, you're there in your Bibles now. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love towards us. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because, and here it is, he laid down his life for us. By this we know love. Believe it. We know love because he laid down his life for us. Through the death of Jesus Christ, God has made peace, reconciling all things, and it says there, including me, to himself. Colossians 1:20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Again, Jesus lifted up. This is what it gives us, reconciliation. I was redeemed, bought back, and forgiven. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I was redeemed and forgiven. Turn now to Ephesians 1:7. We're going to read from Ephesians 1, verse 7. And when you have it, let me know by saying amen. Amen. Okay. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it reads, and let's read it together, actually. We might have a little bit different translation, but it'll work out. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Isn't it wonderful? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. All when Jesus was lifted up. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with Christ. You can just turn back there from Ephesians to Galatians 2:20 we're going to look at. Galatians 2:20. And it says there, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Wow, that's quite the statement. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one of my favorite scripture texts. And I'm going to read it again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't it a wonderful promise that we can say that? Through the death of Jesus Christ, Jesus became sin for me and died as me. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 21 reads, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Through the death of Jesus Christ, my sin has been taken away.
John 1:29 reads, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God,'" and we all know it, "'who takes away the sin of the world.'" He takes away the sins of the world. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I can consider myself to be dead to sin. Wow. Let's turn to Romans 6:11. And here we read, "You also reckon." And that word "reckon" in some versions also reads "consider" or "count." "Consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I've learned that if you wake up every morning and you say that to yourself, you'll have a little bit better of a day. When you can believe that in Jesus, you are indeed, you can consider yourselves to be dead to sin. That's amazing. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. You might not see it, but that's where Hebrews 11:1 comes into play. And we can say what faith is. We can define through this scripture text what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So I'm sure you don't wake up every morning and say, "I'm perfect, praise God." But we can say, "Jesus was perfect. And because of that, I too can be considered that way." Wow, this is a wonderful thing that Jesus has given us. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I have no second death in my future because he's already died that death for me. Hebrews 2:9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." He might taste death for everyone. "Through the death of Jesus Christ, I have been freed from my enemy, Satan. He's been defeated. He's powerless over me." How many people feel that way today? Do we feel that way today? The Bible tells us Satan's been defeated. Let's turn to Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14, if you have your Bibles there. And the Bible reads, "Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." He became human. "That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." He destroyed the devil. And just down to Hebrews 2:15 there, and can I again have a volunteer read that for us? Hebrews 2:15. "He delivered us from the fear of death. We were subject to bondage with Satan, but Jesus delivered us." And in my version, it reads, "He released those who through fear of death." "Through the death of Jesus, I have been perfected forever, even while I'm in the process of being sanctified by Christ." This is faith. These are statements of faith. Hebrews 10:14, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." "Through the death of Jesus Christ, I was healed." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Jesus healed us. "Through the death of Jesus Christ, I am no longer condemned." Let's say that one together. I am no longer condemned. Let's turn to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And why? Why are we no longer condemned? And the answer is because my condemnation fell on him. Just down below there in Romans 8:2-3, the Bible says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And so all of these things, every one of them that we just went through, we have, despite the fact that we are helpless, that we are sinful, and that we are wicked, we have them on the basis of the established fact that Jesus has given his life for us. Can we say amen to that today? Amen. All these blessings I have, and they're all mine. These are established facts, and I can simply say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And so I'm just going to go over these really quickly because I just want them to really sink in before I go on any further. So really quickly, we're just going to go through those ones that we've already read. Through the death of Jesus Christ, I've been justified, declared righteous. I was reconciled to God. God demonstrated his love towards me. I have peace, and I've been reconciled to Jesus. I was redeemed, bought back, forgiven. I was crucified with Christ, and he became sin. He died as me. My sin's been taken away. I can consider myself to be dead to sin. I have no second death in my future because he died that death for me. I've been freed from my enemy. I've been perfected forever, even while being sanctified. I was healed. I'm no longer condemned. And that's because that condemnation fell on him. Is your guilt a little bit lifted? Are you feeling a little bit lighter after looking to Jesus? Jesus said, I, if I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. These are some statements of faith. Just listen as they're read. Thank you, Father, because even though I have felt as if I were on death row, bound by sin, I am not condemned in your sight, because you graciously allowed my condemnation to fall on Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Father, that I don't have to spend a day today in ignorance of your love because you have demonstrated your love towards me in sacrificing your Son to die in my stead. And I want to rejoice in that love today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that despite awareness, and this one might be a little bit hard for us to grasp because it's hard to look away from ourselves. But first, I'm going to read a text to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the statement says, thank you, Father, that despite awareness of my own sinfulness and humanity, today as I look at the cross, I'm just in awe of the fact that you see me as perfectly righteous as Jesus. Wow. Because though he knew no sin, he permitted himself to be made sin on my behalf. Are we hearing today what Jesus has done for us? And to suffer the death that I deserve. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Father. How do we know this statement is true, that one that I just read? Because Jesus was sent to death, and death is the wages of sin, not of righteousness. We know Jesus was perfect in every way. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, even though he never sinned personally, he became sin. That's why the Father turned his face away. And we don't often think of it this way, but the Father turned his face away. He didn't see his perfect and beautiful Son hanging on the cross. Who did he see? He saw us. He saw us hanging on the cross in all our sinfulness. He saw us hanging there just as we are, and the Father turned his face away. But why? Why did the Father turn away from us? Doesn't he love us? That's exactly why he turned his face away, because he loves us so much. Because he loves us so much, he turned his face away so that we could die to those sins that condemn us to death. Take that in for a moment and give me a chance to recover, because it's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought. Jesus took my sin on himself. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. Isaiah 53:6. This is why I love Jesus. If somebody was going to ask me why, you know, you don't oftentimes get the chance to really sit with people and talk about it in this day and age. But if someone would ask me, I'd tell them. And there was a point in my life where I couldn't tell them this because I was too busy looking at my own problems in my own life. And I said, God, please help me from where I am. And the Lord understood. He understood my confusion. And by his grace and love, he pointed me to the cross. And that's where he wants us to look, not to ourselves, not to get discouraged, not to say, God, will I ever be enough? Because Jesus has already been enough. Desire of Ages, page 25. Christ was treated as we deserve. Listen to these words. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. Wow, that is an amazing statement. Psalms 9, 1-2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. In my life personally, I was a chronic doubter. A chronic doubter, and if I'm being honest, it was only recently that God, by his great love, pointed me away from myself to the cross. What a peace comes when you can have confidence in what Jesus has done. And I remembered praying the prayer, Lord, everyone talks about you on the cross. But really, I just finished my prayer saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. And that's about all. But I wanted to pray and be praising God for what he's done. I wanted to be glad for what he's done. So I said, Lord, please help me to see you on the cross. Please help me to understand how your love was revealed on the cross. Because I had heard it talked about that this is where we can see love. But I didn't really feel it myself. And praise God, because he's so good, that he was able to take my focus off myself and put it onto him. I wrote some things in my journal that I have here with me today, and they're quotes that really stood out to me at this time that really encouraged me. As I read them, let's just close our eyes and take them in. They're from one of my favorite authors, Ellen White, and some quotes also from the Bible, some scripture quotes as well. So let's just close our eyes and listen to these words. They're amazing words. It's a great, I'm going to start on the other page. Okay. It's a great misfortune to be a chronic doubter. Keeping the eye and thoughts on self while you are beholding self, while this is the theme of thought and conversation, you cannot be expected to be conformed to the image of Christ. Self is not your savior. You have no redeeming qualities in yourself. Wow. I is a very leaky boat for your faith to embark in. Just as surely as you trust yourself in it, it will founder. The lifeboat to lifeboat, this is your only safety. Jesus is the captain of the lifeboat, and he has never lost a passenger. He has never lost a passenger. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 70, 4-5, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. You are my help and my deliverer. Thank you, Lord. Second quote, you hurt the heart of Christ by doubting when he has given us such evidences of his love in giving his own life to save us, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has told us just what to do. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. Do we believe it today? We can believe it today. I will give you rest. Third quote, we need to be filled with all the fullness of God, and we shall then have life, power, grace, and salvation. How shall we obtain these great blessings? Christ has died that we might receive them by faith in his name. He has freely offered us light and life. Why not let the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shine into the chambers of the heart and mind and dispel the shadows of unbelief? Let them all come away. Turn to the light, to Jesus, the precious Savior. Psalms 51:12. Restore unto me the joy. Have we lost the joy? The joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Please, Lord, restore to us the joy that you want us to have. And lastly, we ourselves owe everything. Very basic statement. We ourselves owe everything to God's free grace. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I pray that you've heard these words today, just what Jesus has done for you. My nephews, they enjoy something that is really neat, I think, and really encouraging. They like, their parents have taught them how to use what we call positive affirmations, and I think we should all use them, so we're going to do that today. Okay, so I want you to repeat these exact words after me, and don't doubt them for a very moment because they are yours on the basis of the death of Jesus. Say it with me as loud as you can. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am a child of God. And again, I am forgiven. I am loved. And I am a child of God. It just gives me chills, like all of us saying that together. Wow, thank you, Lord, so much. And now we're going to say together John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Believe him today. And now we're going to just hit it home with this song that has been picked out. Mark can lower the screen for us. Watch as you see Jesus. Watch as you remember what he's done for you. And don't forget it. Take it with you throughout your week, throughout your life. Trust in it. Believe in it. It's been given to you. Jesus does love you. And the name of this song is How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. No power, no wisdom. but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer.
Father, today you've given us the privilege to be able to stand here and talk together and praise you together for the marvelous and wonderful gift you've given us in Jesus. We don't think of it enough, Father, forgive us. But I pray that each and every day, from here on out, every one of us will be confident in the love that you truly have for us. And that in your hands of love, in your arms of love, we will be carried through this life which is full of suffering, which is full of pain. But that we will know that you came into this world and you lived amongst the same things that we face each and every day. But you did more than we could ever do, in that you laid down your life for your friends. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, that we may become the adopted sons and daughters of you, Father. With Jesus as our elder brother, we are a part of the family of God, and today we stand here in awe and amazement of that privilege that's been given to us. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.